Mike Malloy, thanks for tuning in. However you're doing that, online, via satellite radio, or over-the-air broadcasting. You pays your money and takes your choice, makes your choice, right? First hour tonight, sponsored, Kay sent this, the APA South Bay League at Shoreline Billiards Team. Bad Company says, rock on, Mike. We love you. I think I got that right. Thanks, Kay. Kay McKay, APA, South Bay League at Shoreline Billiards Team. Bad Company says, rock on, Mike. We love you. That's very sweet. The ones that say, we love you. That's very nice. Hey, two things. The weather. I didn't read the article yet, but somebody sent it to me. It's a link to an article. Weather scientists, climate scientists are saying that climate change is having an effect on tectonic shift. I would think so. Just thinking about it, just bing, think about it right now, Mike. If there is, this may not be what the article says. I'm just saying, if there is a global warming going on, and that is manifesting around the planet through an increased volume of unfrozen water that's all of a sudden entering the system. You know, the melting glaciers and so on and so forth. Obviously, this has weight in addition to volume. And if there are areas under the sea that are a little bit touchy right now, anyway, because they're due for a tectonic shift. Now, by due in geologic times, it means it could happen tomorrow, and tomorrow in geologic time could be 5,000 years from now. But with the addition of weight, I don't know, you think? That makes sense to me. That's one. The weather. 44 people killed across the south and the southeast over the weekend. Some of the videos that I saw of tornado damage, surprisingly, even though we were braced for it last Friday night, it missed us completely. We had storms, we had rainstorms, we had thunder and lightning and some 30-mile-an-hour winds, but the really bad stuff blew by most of the state of Georgia. But there was devastation. I'm sure you've seen the video. I mean, some of the video of the destruction looks similar to the destruction from the tsunami in Japan. 44, 45 people killed in these storms. This violent weather, and another wave apparently is coming towards the east even as we speak. The violent weather that teabaggers will, or religious right freaks will probably say it's God's will, or it's because the taxes are too high or something. But it's neither, of course. It is global climate change. We're really in it. The other issue is gasoline prices. I said a couple of years ago, hell, let it go to $5. Maybe people will stop buying gasoline, stop wasting gasoline. People have to buy gasoline to get the kids to school or go to work or, you know, do errands, whatever. But $5 a gallon certainly would cut down on superfluous driving or unnecessary driving. Now, I don't know what that would be. In our family, I'm sure we could probably eliminate 20 or 30%. Well, maybe that's too high. 10, 20% of the driving that we do by consolidating trips, which we have tried to do. We've started doing that. But $5 a gallon for gasoline is going to, you know, it'll ripple through the economy. In fact, affect everybody, including the oil companies. The oil companies should be taken over by the federal government tomorrow morning. This is part of Malloy socialism, by the way, a plan that I laid out over a year ago. The energy companies should be nationalized, period. There is no question. I mean, this, to think that you have energy and health care in the hands of private corporations is obscenely insane. It makes no sense whatsoever. None. That's like having medical research in the hands of private industry. It's mind-boggling how stupid that is. But we're going to continue to do it. We'll continue to do it because corporate America now owns the country. But consider this. Oil company profits are up 41% over the same time last year. 41%. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that the plan is working. See, you and I, and the other 330, well, let's deduct, you know, 150 million dumbasses. You and I and the other 180 million people in this country who could affect change have, for some reason, decided not to. We've just decided these wars are okay. The destruction of constitutional rights is okay. I'm not talking about this imaginary pain that these teabag bastards are going through. I'm talking like Bradley Manning or other people who are being deprived of their constitutional rights. But we've decided that's okay. Soaring profits for oil companies while they destroy everything they touch. There is nothing that an energy company touches that it doesn't destroy. Mountaintops, deep mines, natural gas fracking, drilling in the Gulf, drilling in Alaska, drilling in South America, wherever. There is not now. People will argue, this is what their argument is, although they're dishonest and won't admit this, that there's a trade-off. Well, of course we're going to destroy the environment. But, you know, we need the energy. Well, I guess so. I guess we do need the energy to make all those iPads and iPods and iPoons and iCans and I this and I that, and smartphones and brilliant phones and genius phones and you know, just on and on and on and on and on. So the oil companies are enjoying a 41% increase in their corporate profits. And that's the way it should be. That's the way the Republican Party has structured all of this. Oil companies do not pay taxes. Oil companies corrupt and destroy everything they touch. Oil companies make obscene profits. If there is a definition for the term obscene profit, and I truly believe there is, because the profits the oil companies are making has a direct link back to death, disease, illness, child deformities, environmental destruction, global warming, tectonic shift. Are you kidding me? It all ties together. People who think that there are discrete events on this planet have never heard of the butterfly effect or have heard about it and said, oh, that's a good one. Well, here you are. 41% increase in profit. And they still wag their middle finger at Congress, the ones they don't own, the American public, their demon-like God, anybody that pays attention to the 41% increase in profits, while gasoline, heating oil, everything continues to go up because of the speculators, because of the obscenity that every single oil company is. By definition, it is an obscenity, and it should be taken over by the people. Tomorrow morning, boom, take it over. You think? We'll be right back.
less evil then than he is now. The stock market holds the answer to why him, why here, why now. 'Cause it's all about the price of oil. It's all about the
primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. If you do a little research on a woman named Marilyn Davenport, an elected member of the Republican Party Central Committee in Orange County, California, you find out she's a very active Christian and very active Republican. Some Orange County Republicans are now irritated because she has revealed the once again, this happens every once in a while, the racism that is rampant through Republican Party, the Teabag Party, the Orange County Republicans. It's all about racism. She sent an email with a picture of a family of chimpanzees. And it's a mama chimp and a daddy chimp dressed up in human being clothes. And the mama chimp is holding a baby chimp. And there's Obama's face. And underneath it, it says, "Now you know why no birth certificate." The Orange County Republican Party chairman, Scott Baugh, jumped into his role as the outraged Republican and has called for Marilyn's resignation. Marilyn Davenport sent this to other committee members and some of her good Christian friends last week. County Chairman Scott Baugh said he received it Friday afternoon and quickly responded with an email telling Marilyn it was, quote, dripping with racism and is in very poor taste, end quote. Aren't they quick? Aren't they quick? Once it becomes public, you see, once it gets out there, once their cheesy ass little right wing Christian fun and games is exposed, then all of a sudden, oh, well, that's awful. Oh, my. According to an email that Republican County Chairman Scott Baugh sent to committee members Saturday, Marilyn Davenport described the Obama photo as a joke and wanted to know what filthy, dirty, liberal, left-wing, communist, unchristian, Muslim, chicken-eating bastard had leaked the email to the Orange County Weekly, the newspaper that broke the story. That's all she cared about. She called the leak cowardly, and she wrote, "Anyone brave enough to come forward?" Oh, God. And then she wrote, here it comes, here we go. "I'm sorry if my email offended anyone. I simply found it amusing regarding the character of Obama and all the questions surrounding his origin of birth. In no way did I even consider the fact he's half black when I sent out the email. In fact, the thought never entered my mind until one or two other people tried to make this about race. We all know a double standard applies regarding this president. I received plenty of emails about George Bush that I didn't particularly like, yet there was no cry in the media about them." End quote. Well, you know, there is no reason to point out all the half-assed comments in that email and all the obfuscations and distortions and so on and so forth. But this is so typical of conservative Christian Republicans. This is it. This is the absolute nexus. Racism, beat up on the poor, tell the rest of the world to kiss your ass because you're white and you're Republican and you live in Orange County or wherever. This is it. Here it is. This is it right here. Michael Schroeder, the former chairman of the California Republican Party, I mean, the big dude, former big dude, and an Orange County Republican activist, he said if Marilyn refuses to resign, she should be ousted. Ooh, Michael, you were so offended, weren't you? Michael says, I looked at it and my jaw dropped. Really, Michael? Of course, rational people won't believe you. Republicans and teabaggers and right-wing Christians and racist supremacists and all you people, I mean, you always get your bowels in an uproar, don't you, when you are found out. When one of your little cute little emails going back, look, he looks like a chimpanzee. Isn't that cute? Oh, God damn, isn't that cute? And you get caught. And all of a sudden, oh, my goodness sakes, well, she should resign. Yes, she should. Now, she does have an offender, something named a Tim Whitaker, another long-serving committee member, came to Marilyn's defense, and he described her as, quote, a polite, gentle grandmother. Oh, okay. All right, a polite, except where it concerns the blacks, right? You know, and the people that are half monkey. I'm not black, but right? Sometimes I wish I could say I'm not white.
Yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look?
Because liberal is a good word. It's more Mike Malloy.
We've got to fulfill the book.
25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Kay McKay with the APA South Bay League at Shoreline. The billiards team, Bad Company, says, rock on, Mike. We love you.
Oh.
I've never played billiards. I've tried. It's too irritating. I play pool, you know, nine ball, eight ball, whatever.
Oil company profits up 41% and continuing to climb.
Now, in addition to the Orange County Republican Christian woman who sent out the email of Barack Obama's face imposed on a baby chimp, we also have Donald Trump. Don't you love seeing, I mean, what proof do you need? Donald Trump now is leading in most polls for Republican nomination for president. You gotta love it. I mean, what a weasel, what an opportunistic little chump is Donald Trump, right? All of a sudden, oh, where's the birth certificate? All of a sudden, well, the queer shouldn't be allowed to marry. All of a sudden, well, a woman's right to privacy shouldn't be hers. All of a sudden, right? Hey, look at his numbers skyrocket. What does that tell you? Well, this will get him a few more points. Trump was, the other day, he was lamenting the fact that Obama appears to have locked up the black vote. Really? Who'd have thunk it? Anyway, in Trump's universe, that's true. And Trump told he was on some talk show in Albany, New York, Thursday. He said, in response to that, or regarding that, about Obama appears to have locked up the black vote. He said, quote, "I have a great relationship with the blacks. I've always had a great relationship with the blacks." Jesus Christ. Yeah, we know what you mean there, Donald. Your relationship with the blacks, they put a good shine on those shoes of yours, don't they, huh? They make sure that when they pick you up in that spiffy limo of yours, you can just, my God, you can see your face in the finish, right? Great relationship with those blacks, right, Donald? Uh-huh. And, of course, then you have the sports teams, all of those blacks, right? Trump went on to say that it's a, quote, very sad thing, end quote, that such a high percentage of blacks support President Obama for reasons he believes that are largely influenced by race. Here we go, the great political pundit, Donald Trump. It's all about race. Trump went on, look at Hillary Clinton, he says. Hillary Clinton did so much for the blacks. So much, and got very few votes. He goes on, look, I tell you, I tell it like it is. Then you hear a political reporter go on and say, they had nothing to do with race. But how come she got such a tiny piece of the vote? Look at all she did for the blacks. Well, I know the blacks. I have a great relationship with the blacks. The blacks have always liked me, those blacks. And he's leading in Republican polls. Of course. Of course. I've always had a great relationship with the blacks. And have you heard about Ayn Rand fanboy Paul Ryan? The Republican from Wisconsin and chairman of the Budget Committee, Paul Ryan, all these right-wing vampire's favorite boy right now? You go, Paul. You write that budget. Kick some ass and take some names. Get those old ladies. Get those old men. Get those babies. Get those dark-skinned folk. Get those union members. Get those poor people. Amen. You go, Paul. Well, here's what Paul Ryan said about Social Security in his State of the Union rebuttal. Remember that? He said, quote, this is a future in which we will transform our social safety net into a hammock. A hammock which lulls able-bodied people into lives of complacency and dependency. End quote. He's talking about Social Security. Turns out that when young Master Ryan was an able-bodied young lad. He used that hammock to pay for his college education. As reported at Fire Dog Lake by Blue Texan, on the day Paul Davis Ryan was born in 1970, President Richard Nixon unveiled his record-setting $200 billion federal budget proposal for the upcoming year, a budget that included a large increase in Social Security payments. A large increase in Social Security, a large increase in Social Security payments. Well, one day, as 16-year-old Paul Davis Ryan came upon the lifeless body of his father, Paul Ryan Sr., who had died of a massive heart attack at age 55, leaving young Master Ryan, a Janesville, Wisconsin high school 10th grader, his three older brothers and sisters, and his mother alone. And it was young Master Paul who informed the family of his father's death. With his father's passing, young Master Paul Davis Ryan collected Social Security benefits until age 18, which he put away for college. College costs have skyrocketed since young Master Paul Davis Ryan entered Miami University in 1988, yet Ryan wants to slash, burn, destroy the very system he benefited from because it produces dependency. Well, ask his mama. Ask his three older brothers and sisters how they all became dependent when Daddy died of a massive heart attack. Didn't you, Paul? You phony bastard. This is a guy who requires his staffers to read Atlas Shrugged. Of course, Ayn Rand was a welfare queen herself. She got on the dole. Michelle Bachmann's slimy, scummy, defraud Medicare husband is on the dole. But they don't want you to have it. Hypocrites. Every single one of them. So go ahead. Go ahead, Republicans. Go ahead, Christians. Vote these people into office because they certainly have your best interests at heart. But you see, to right-wing Christians, none of this matters because they know they're saved. Ah, da-da-dee-dee. They're saved. Unlike you, you filthy atheist. They're saved. So it doesn't make any difference what gets cut, slashed, burned, deprived, denied, taken away, reverted, destroyed, deep-sixed, buried. It doesn't matter because we're going to heaven. Yes, we are. We're going to rapture on out of here. Just as soon as the Jews start killing, I don't know, who are they supposed to kill? Who are the Jews supposed to kill to bring Jesus back? Whew. Sick. 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 Did y'all know that? That Master Paul Ryan and his mama and his sisters and brothers all benefited from that dirty, communist, socialistic, filthy Social Security. And you know what? The kids and mama weren't even 65. The kids were in middle school. What? Social Security for middle school? For high school? Oh! Oh, the misery of that. Oh, Paul Ryan, look what he turned out to be. There's your proof to get rid of Social Security. You filthy hypocrite. You filthy, filthy hypocrite. To hell with you, Ryan. Just to hell with you. Everything is gonna be all right.
Saw the boss come walking down along the factory line, saying, boys, we have to tighten up our belts. But he didn't look any thinner than he did a year ago, and I wonder just how hungry that man felt. He knows it ain't hard to get along with somebody else's troubles. They don't make him lose any sleep at night. Fate is out there busting somebody else's bubbles. Everything is...
When you pull up to the gas pump, just remember, as you're pumping in close to $4 a gallon or more, oil company profits are up 41%. And that's the way it should be. This hour is sponsored by Kay McKay. The APA South Bay League at Shoreline, the billiards team Bad Company, says, rock on, Mike. We love you. Well, by God, I love you, too. Thanks, Kay. Scott Walker, the freakish Christian Republican in Wisconsin, one of the most important ideological commitments, this is from Alternet, of the modern conservative movement is in opposition to tax increases. Of course, everything's supposed to be free. And besides, if you didn't pull yourself up with your bootstraps like Social Security, like Paul Ryan did, well then, die. That's simple. Opposition to tax increases. It is with this ideology that then Wisconsin gubernatorial candidate Scott Walker signed Americans for Tax Reform's Taxpayer Protection Pledge. A vow not to raise taxes on the people of the state of Wisconsin. And then, of course, he ran for governor and lied through his filthy, yellow, slime-stained teeth. Yet in his newly proposed budget, now Governor Walker appears to have already broken his pledge. The budget does include $83.3 million in tax cuts for businesses and the investor class. But it will make up for the lost revenue in that $83.3 million in tax cuts by eliminating tax credits and exemptions that benefit the poor and even some in the middle class. And that's the way it should be. Wisconsin's Legislative Fiscal Bureau, which is that state's equivalent to the Congressional Budget Office in Washington, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau finds that this would amount to a $50 million tax increase on people who receive these credits over the next 2 years. In other words, by eliminating the credits and eliminating the exemptions that benefit the poor and even some of the middle class, this filthy, hypocritical pig, Paul Ryan, offsets almost the $83 million in tax cuts for business people and the investor class. Why, of course. According to Wisconsin's Legislative Fiscal Bureau, those affected most by Walker's proposal would include low-income families who qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit Program and low-income homeowners who receive tax rebates under the Homestead Tax Credit. All of that in the conservative teabag Christian Paul, or I'm sorry, it's a different one. It's this other guy, Scott Walker. In his universe, all of that will go away. But massive tax cuts for the investor class and the wealthy. And that's the way God intended it. Right, Scott? Right, Paul? Right, all you right-wing devils that somehow somebody left the doorway to hell open and you folks came pouring out of some hole dug by an energy company and here you are. Oh, in addition to eliminating the tax credits, Walker has also proposed all sorts of new fee increases. They're fees. According to his budget, the bulk of the fee increases are for tuition at University of Wisconsin campuses, totaling more than $105 million over 2 years. That's right. Give the wealthy an $83 million tax cut for the investors and jack up the charges that college students have to pay by $105 million. Brilliant! Yes! But that's the right-wing, conservative, Christian way to do things. Kick them when they're up. Kick them when they're down. Stomp on the poor. Break the backs of the middle class. And tell those snotty college freshmen they're going to pay and pay and pay. So the bottom line, Walker is much less committed to keeping taxes down on everyone than he is to keeping taxes down on the wealthy. That's what he's about. Just like all of these right-wing, teabag, conservative, Christian Republicans. God wants it done this way. Jesus wants it done this way. Why? At that last Seder dinner, when Jesus turned to his 12 disciples, one of the last things he said was, I want you to kick ass on the working class. And especially the poor. Stomp them into the ground. Grind them under your feet. And boys, I know I'm going to be executed tomorrow, but I'll tell you what, boys, get bitching on these people. You hear me? Stomp, kick. Onward, Christian soldiers, amen. When you go to pump some gas into your gas tank later on this week, just remember, as you stare at that $4 a gallon price, right around four, a little over. Oil company profits are up 41%. over last quarter or last year, it really doesn't matter who's keeping track, right? And that's the way it should be. Republican governors, as filthy and venal, as swinish as they are, well, all Republicans, but especially these governors, they're trying to kill environmental protection laws, the governors. And also from alternate, since the midterm elections, Republicans have been doing more than, you know, trying to break every single part of the social safety net, attacking women, attacking the poor, attacking the elderly. They're doing more than that. they've got this coalition of toxic Republican governors now, especially across the Midwest, which is stunning to me. But suck it up, Midwesterners. This is what you wanted, especially in Michigan, where pretty soon your cities and school boards and union halls and town councils are going to be run by a commissar appointed by your fascist governor. Now, I know that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Fascist and commissar. All right, by your Stalinist governor. Anyway, I digress. Emboldened by a coalition of toxic Republican governors. Republicans have been taking their offense to the state level, disabling infrastructure that still potentially has a wall of protection in the Senate. And as Alternet writes, we've seen this in both their union-busting tactics throughout the Midwest and their assault on women's reproductive rights throughout the country, not to mention their privacy. But the New York Times points out that they're coming for another target, environmental protection. Citing environmental rollbacks in Maine, New Jersey, Florida, and North Carolina, as well as the Washington establishment, Republican establishment's total disdain for the EPA. The piece in the New York Times shows how Republicans are setting up a false dichotomy between jobs and the environment. Well, of course, because the Republicans, being the filthy bastards that they are, realize that most people kind of half hear it or don't pay attention or are just basically stupid Republicans or brain-dead Democrats and believe that the choice is between jobs or the environment. Now, when you present that to the husband and wife or the husband or the wife and wife, whatever the mix is in a family with kids who are struggling, and both the wife and the wife, or the husband and the husband, or the husband and the wife are unemployed through no fault of their own. These are good workers. But they're unemployed. If you approach that team, that family, and say, okay, all right, quick. The speed of your answer gives you extra points. What do you want, jobs or environmental laws? Quick. In Maine, the governor there summed up his hatred of a clean environment. He said, quote, Maine's working families and small businesses are endangered. Really? Could that be because of thugs like you? Of course, you were voted in, weren't you? Or it appears you were voted in. Just like the bastard in Wisconsin and Michigan and Ohio. Huh? Anyway, he says, Maine's working families and small businesses are endangered. It is time we start defending the interests of those who want to work with the same vigor that we defend tree frogs. Do you like that? I remember 30 years ago, the argument was what was the owl out in California? The spotted owl and the timber industry just went berserk. And that's about the time when Limbaugh was, in his full throttle. When he was just eating Vicodin by the hands full and driving himself deaf. And being just an obnoxious Jabba the Hutt that he is, but this is back in his heyday. Oh, they're trying to save tree frogs. They don't give a damn about workers. Comprehensive clean energy and climate legislation could create 1.9 million jobs. Nationwide, not obviously not in Maine. While Paul Ryan's budget plan not only sacrifices the EPA, there's $1.6 billion in cuts. It also decimates jobs. Sarah Laskow, writing yesterday at The Mulch blog site. And meanwhile, the consequences of an overly tread upon Earth are still emerging. Last week, for instance, like I mentioned, scientists discovered that climate change affects plate tectonics. Yeah, but Jesus is coming, so don't worry about it. Now, on the other hand, be, as recorded in the New York Times the other day, new settlement between the EPA and other plaintiffs and the Tennessee Valley Authority resolving clean air violations at 11 TVA coal-fired plants is long overdue. A settlement! And as the Times says, as a result, millions of Americans will someday breathe cleaner air. Oh, I can't wait. The settlement will also reduce emissions that have brought acid rain damage to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. And it emphatically vindicates the Clean Air Act, which is now under assault from 3, 2, 1. Christian conservative Republicans! Under the deal, this deal signed between the EPA, other plaintiffs, and the Tennessee Valley Authority, under the deal, the federally run authority will close 18 of its oldest and dirtiest coal-fired boilers in Tennessee, Kentucky, and Alabama, spend $3 to $5 billion over the next decade to install state-of-the-art pollution controls at about three dozen other units, and invest $350 million in energy efficiency and renewable energy projects. Oh, my God! Communism! 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 Of course, that's what they said about the TVA to begin with all those years ago. Communism! The EPA estimates that this agreement will reduce emissions of nitrogen oxides and sulfur dioxide by nearly 70%, which will in turn prevent 1,200 to 3,000 premature deaths, 2,000 heart attacks, and 21,000 asthma attacks annually. How do they know these things? The retirement of older coal-fired plants combined with energy efficiencies will inevitably, the Times says, reduce the company's emission of carbon dioxide, the main greenhouse gas. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da! Now, the settlement is a reminder of the value of the Clean Air Act and the EPA. And all of it, all the enforcement power of these organizations will be destroyed, ripped to pieces, spat upon, and dumped in the garbage by the God-fearing, nature-hating, Christian, right-wing teabag Republicans who now own your country.
With the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour.
It stopped his car. Baby, get in. Didn't stop driving till he had
apparently, I didn't realize this, but apparently it's already started in the poor benighted state of Michigan. Malachi in Saskatoon just sent this to me. And it's from, what's the day today, the 18th, Kathy? I think this is 2 days old. Benton Harbor. Remember Benton Harbor? That's they're twin cities. Remember, one of them is predominantly white, and the other one right across the bridge there is predominantly black. Benton Harbor was the one that was predominantly black. What was the other one? We went there one time for something when we lived in Chicago. I forget. Anyway, Detroit News is reporting in a move believed to be the first under sweeping new state legislation. Emergency manager Joseph Harris suspended decision-making powers of city officials in Benton Harbor Friday. Officials can only call meetings to order, adjourn them, and approve minutes of meetings as part of the order issued Friday. they can only, oh, well, there goes democracy. So it started. You remember Governor Rick Snyder, the totalitarian thug, who is now your governor up there in Michigan, signed into law in March a new statute that grants more powers to emergency managers to take over schools, communities, you know, whatever. City Commissioner Brian Joseph, one of the elected Benton Harbor officials, didn't seem to care. He said, "Doesn't bother me. I'm in favor of it." The move drew a strong rebuke from the AFL-CIO. The union represents administrative workers, among others. The AFL-CIO is not a union. What the hell does this mean? It's an umbrella organization. I don't know. Mark Gaffney, president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, said, quote, "This is sad news for democracy in Michigan. With the stripping of all power of duly elected officials in Benton Harbor, we can now see the true nature of the emergency manager system." End quote. Benton Harbor has struggled with a controversial trash hauling contract, lawsuits related to the contract, new competition for water services, you know, private water, and city officials who sometimes clashed to the point of meetings dragging on for hours. Well, we'll have none of that. The new powers of emergency managers include setting aside collective bargaining. Oh, really? The new manager's orders comes before 2 days of training for prospective emergency managers and turnaround experts is to be held next week. There's an article out there now. I think it's in the Detroit newspapers. The some of the governor's bully boys apparently are conducting these classes on how to take over. And remove from power duly elected officials. How to just move in, push them aside. Mayors, school board presidents, school boards, collective bargaining agreements, in the trash, in the garbage dump, gone. Emergency managers are in place at Detroit Public Schools, in the cities of Benton Harbor, Ecorse, and Pontiac. Pontiac. Well, the commissars are there. And I love the way the filthy, dirty, teabag, conservative, right-wing Christian Republicans got their panties all in a wad over the offhanded term czar, a drug czar, an education czar, an energy czar, you know, just a throwaway term. Oh, that means you're going to put Russian in charge. It's going to be communist. Oh. And rational people in Washington, oh, my God, not again. Oh, you moron, sit down. So a throwaway term like, what was Bennett? Wasn't he the drug czar, that famous right-wing slob? Wasn't he the drug czar? I think he was the drug czar there for a while. Nobody said anything about the term czar then, but let Obama use it. Oh, the Kenyan. So now they have real, not czars, commissars. In Benton Harbor, Ecorse, Pontiac, Michigan, they're moving in, folks. Michigan, who'd have thunk it that Michigan would become the classroom for teaching the Soviet totalitarian system and actually apply it?
Spare a big
synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour, Roz in Canada writes about gasoline prices. She writes, Mike, in Canada, where our dollar is worth about 4 cents more than the U.S. dollar, we are paying far more for gasoline than Americans do. In Toronto, it's about $1.30 per liter. In Calgary, it's around $1.18 per liter. One U.S. gallon is about 3.78 liters, and a Canadian gallon is approximately 4.5 liters. You guys still have it pretty good. We should all be glad we don't pay what the Europeans and Brits do. I would have a horse and cart if I lived there. Or at the very least, a bike. Roz. Yeah, well, that's very true. Americans have never really paid the kind of prices for gasoline that other countries pay. The thing that is so irritating to me is the fact that the energy industry in this country is owned by corporations who care nothing about how they extract the petroleum, how they refine it, the profits they make, what it's doing to the environment. They devote billions of dollars to stymie or thwart altogether research and development into non-fossil fuel sources of energy. They are rapacious bastards who loot, pillage, and burn. They just don't care. Why should they? The top shareholders and executives of the oil companies can go any place on earth anytime they want to and stay for as long as they want to. If the air is getting difficult to breathe in place A, they just go to place B, where they haven't yet destroyed it. And once that's destroyed, move on to place C. Eventually, of course, they run out of places, and hopefully at that time, the hungry and desperate hordes will pull them down and strip the flesh from their bones. But in the meantime, it's all fun and games. Profit, 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 profit. This is from LH. How the Right Thinks. Mike, is a former evangelical, Paul was considered a liberal when I was growing up. As a former evangelical, I think it's important to understand how they think. Simply put, their lives are defined by fear and ignorance. They will speak of a loving God, but to love God is to fear God. Every week they go to church and have this reinforced. They are told to trust in nothing but the Bible. This means nothing they see, read, or hear in the real world is true. They truly believe in an imaginary world, and their constantly reinforced fear keeps them from going out to discover the real world. People like Paul Ryan are just wholly unfamiliar with what it is to be poor in the modern world. They have either always been rich or have nostalgicized their poor, I've never seen that word before, nostalgicized their poor childhoods and rationalized their good fortune. Sadly, often poor rank-and-file Republicans are too brainwashed to make the connection between their party's policies and their own financial state. What we need are open-minded people who are willing to convert others. Oxymoron though it may be, we need a church of evangelical atheism and militant agnostics. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's very clear. All you have to do is to walk into a church, any church. Even the more moderate Christian congregations still live in fear and trembling when they get right down to it of this make-believe creature that they've constructed that lives someplace in, quote, heaven, end quote. I don't know about how serious Jews and Muslims and Hindus and people who practice other faiths take all this, God, I'm going to bite your head off. Well, I guess there are a couple of I think Kali, the Indian goddess of, life and death? Kali? I think she is depicted as nurturing babies, breastfeeding them on the one hand. Well, she has about 8 or 9 hands. On the other hand, biting their heads off. Ah, oh, oh. But the Christians, again, all you have to do is just go to a meeting or a service and sit down, listen. Or if you don't want to do that, just pick up their holy book and start reading. It is one of the most violent, horrific compendiums of death and destruction I think ever accumulated in, you know, between covers of any book. I can't think of another one that is more violent and vicious and filled with allegories that 21st century people take as truisms, and they would, I don't think they were ever intended to be. I think in the Christian part of the Bible, I think their avatar tried to make a point that, you know, he was talking to dumbasses, literally people who were totally uneducated, living in terrible fear of this vicious Yahweh and the vicious Caesar and the vicious Sanhedrin that had the life and death over all of them. What the hell were they supposed to do? And I think what the Christian avatar was trying to say was, look, you know, you don't have to do this. You don't have to live in all this fear. Blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. All of it's been so distorted. And besides, this is not Tuesday. We normally do church on Tuesday. Bob Kincaid does church on Wednesday, doesn't he?
We do church on Wednesday.
We do church on... No. Remember, I...
Last week it was Wednesday.
Yeah, that's because I screwed up last week. Normally we do church on Tuesday, just to stay ahead of the curve. Well, you know, Bob Kincaid does church on the Head On Radio Network. He does church on Wednesdays, so... You know, I don't want to compete with church. just kidding. I get a little nervous, and I'm not Jewish, when the Christians start gearing up for Easter. I really do. I just start getting very nervous. Now, here's how you handle it. If you are in the Republican right wing, mega insane power structure, here's what you do. The owners of Vermont's troubled. This is how the Associated Press reports it. The troubled nuclear plant. Troubled? No, troubled is you know, when it's 10:30 and your kid had a 10 o'clock curfew and you're sitting there waiting for the phone to ring and you're troubled. Troubled is when you go to bake your daughter's birthday cake and you find you're out of milk and eggs and your wife has the car. That's troubled. The owners of Vermont's troubled nuclear plant sued state officials today. Sued them. To stop them from closing the plant next year. Setting up a court fight about who has jurisdiction. The state or federal nuclear regulators. Ooh, let's debate that. In the meantime, let's see how quickly the Vermont Yankee waste pile of death and destruction finally cracks its housing. And then what? You going to continue the argument then, boys and girls? Huh? New Orleans-based, well, see, they're in New Orleans, Entergy Corporation, which recently won a new 20-year license for Vermont Yankee, but has battled with state officials since the discovery of loose radioactive tritium at the plant. Oh, well, that's not a big deal. You know, just a little tritium. It's a little, no big deal. We want another 20 years. God damn, we're making all kinds of profit on this. Woo-hoo! What else? Let's see. Cracks. Yeah, here it is. Last year, the state Senate in Vermont voted 26-4 to stop the plant from operating past March 2012 when the state permit expires. And the reason they did that is because they discovered that the plant had leaked radioactive tritium into groundwater and soil around the nuclear holocaust waiting to occur, and admissions by the owners that they had misspoken. In other words, they had lied when they told Vermont regulators and lawmakers that the plant didn't have the kind of underground piping that carries radioactive material. No, no, we don't have any of that. No, no, no. Oh, they're leaking? Oh, we misspoke. You misspoke? Well, we got caught. Sorry. The governor of Vermont has called for the closure of Vermont Yankee. And environmental groups have described it as a facility that should be ended. But the owners, Entergy Corporation, said, oh no, I'll sue your ass. And they have.
Ready to make nice, it's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Now, in the decision by the Entergy Corporation to sue the state of Vermont for trying to close the Vermont Yankee nuclear power plant that is, oh, I don't know, one day, one week, 1 month, 1 year away from a total nuclear accident. And Vermont Yankee or Entergy wants that 20-year renewal permit because, hell, it's just a cash cow. The taxpayers have to pay for the construction of these nuclear plants. It's called, what is it called? Captured resources or captured profits or something that's the new term. Well, relatively new that the energy companies, we have that here at the Southern Company that owns Georgia Power and Alabama Power and Florida. Well, no, that's a different one. But the Southern Company, which has been identified by anyone who wants to do the identifying, whether it's government or private or environmental group, Southern Company is the largest polluter, air polluter in America, in the United States, I should say. It is the most vile, filthy polluter in the United States. And to add insult to injury, all right, to add insult to energy, these bastards get, here in Georgia, they got the legislature several years ago to, or not the legislature, but the Public Service Commission to approve uptick in everybody's power bills. Why? Well, because Southern Company was having a little bit of problem with their stockholders in trying to explain these captured costs, I forget what the term is, in the nuclear power generators here in the state of Georgia. And, of course, the Public Service Commission being owned and operated by the energy industry, of course, rubber stamped it, says, sure, okay, yeah, you got it, yeah. Well, in a conference call, Entergy Corporation executive Richard Smith said his company didn't want to resort to litigation in the state of Vermont, but felt it had to. We were forced into it by the union people and the atheists and the queers and the liberals and the dark people. We were forced into it. Oh, really? Richard Smith said, quote, "We believe we have made every reasonable effort to accommodate the state of Vermont." Now, you get that condescension in there, that patronizing attitude of a corporation talking to a sovereign state. Huh? We believe we had made every reasonable effort to accommodate the state of Vermont and its officials. And this is a point where the desire to rip open someone's throat becomes almost overwhelming to me, and I have to stop and say, no, calm down. Deep breath. Chant. Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, Nam-myoho-renge-kyo. And it doesn't work. I still want to rip open somebody's throat. We believe we have made every reasonable effort to accommodate the state of Vermont and its officials while allowing for the continued operation of Vermont Yankee, an outcome that benefits all stakeholders. You mean investors? You mean people who own a piece of this death and destruction? Is that what you mean? Including Vermont consumers. Oh, and the approximately 650 men and women who work at the plant. End quote. See, it's not about safety. It's not about life and death issues. It's saving jobs. Like they care about Vermont. Oh, please. The suit filed by Entergy Corporation says that Vermont officials changed the rules. Oh, no! By passing a law 4 years later after, well, the rules were set out in 2002 Memorandum of Understanding when Entergy bought the plant. And Vermont officials passed a law 4 years later that said Vermont Yankee couldn't operate past 2012 without the legislature's approval. Well, where's Governor Rick Snyder in Michigan? Just send in an overseer. Send in a commissar. What? Legislative? Legislative approval? What the hell kind of an idea is that? Under the original agreement, Vermont Yankees owners needed the approval of the State Public Service Board, which the lawsuit said is a, quote, quasi-judicial expert decision maker independent of legislative control, end quote. The Vermont legislature has nothing to say about whether or not we want to operate a nuclear power plant that is unsafe, that has dumped radioactive tritium, if that's not redundant, into the environment, that is stacking up tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of plutonium. The people of Vermont, through their elected representatives, having a say as to what we, Entergy Corporation, do and the decisions we make regarding the safety of that plant? Are you out of your goddamn mind? This is America, 2011. State legislatures do not make these decisions. We do. And if we own enough of the little people who run your toy state legislatures, we make it appear as though they're making the decision. A lawsuit that may result in the death of millions of people. But is there a problem with that? Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. We will open up the phones here for a while. 877-996-2556. 877-996-2556 if you want to comment. I got this email I want to share with you. I don't think I want to say who it's from. Subject line is Ugly Minds of the Christians. Says, last evening, Mike, I for the first time viewed The Passion of Christ, the movie The Passion of Christ. I could not watch all of it. When it first came out, my beloved granddaughter, who was 5, was with her other grandparents, and they, being Christians, took her to see it. I had read the reviews and knew it was not one I would ever see. The evening when my granddaughter arrived home, she immediately went over to her chalkboard and made crosses, big crosses, small crosses, so many crosses. I was blown away as she described the many scenes her precious young innocent mind and emotions had had to endure. My moment of, quote, knowing, end quote, came many years ago when the reality arrived that any father who would allow their beloved son or daughter to be tortured to death was someone I never ever wanted to know about. A sick mind put that movie together with the raw sadomasochism that was so blatant and ugly. For me, trying to sleep last evening was almost impossible. Where was the peace I give you? The love one another, the do unto others as you would have done unto you, the think upon these things which are good and kind and lovely, the fruits of the Spirit, peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, etc. All quotes from the Bible. Where is all that? Of course, if they focused on that, how could they control? As only the gentle are capable of loving. My beautiful granddaughter is arriving this Saturday from her home and will be with me for 3 weeks. And The Passion of Christ is not on our list. Peace. A 5-year-old? Now, like my emailer here, I've not seen and will not go see it. As much as I find all religions, but especially Christianity, particularly vile, I still will not go see it for the sadomasochistic attitude put in there by what's his name, who produced it and directed it, the Jew-hating Mel Gibson. He and his father. Oh, my God. Mel Gibson would have been just absolutely thrilled to have run the death camps in Poland and Germany during World War II. That comes through very clearly, very clearly. Whew. An email or a memo or press release from People for the American Way. As states and school districts work to stem a tide of anti-gay bullying in American schools, a powerful group is out to stop them, to stop the effort to end bullying against gay kids. The religious right. You wonder why I see Christianity as one of the worst perversions ever put together to destroy a person's mind. The religious right has been leading a concerted effort to stop programs that seek to protect lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgendered youth from bullying. And their effort is to deny that the problem of anti-gay bullying even exists. Today, Monday, today, People for the American Way released a report exposing the religious right. Now, the religious right is Christians. The religious right's pro-bullying efforts and the myth it is using to promote them. A quote, a couple of quotes here from that report. The anti-bullying movement sounds like a joke, but it's frighteningly real. The religious right is desperately trying to protect bullies and further marginalize gay and gay-perceived kids by stopping efforts to make schools safe for every child. The right's anti-bullying effort relies on four central strategies, according to the report. The indoctrination myth. Religious right activists claim that anti-bullying policies will result in, quote, homosexual indoctrination, end quote, in the schools. Now, if that, let me digress from the report. If that is not an example of absolute perverted insanity, these are people who would sacrifice their own child, would stab their kid's heart out if they heard the voices telling them that God wanted it. How often do you read that in the paper? Well, a demon got in my child and God told me to cut his heart out, so I did. Religious right activists claim that anti-bullying policies telling people, look, respect other people because, here's one, respect other people because they're God's creation. What about the little gay boy? No, him too. Him too. He's, you know, he's part of God's creation. No! And trying to teach that to children results in homosexual indoctrination. How sick are these bastards? How sick, the religious right folks? How sick are they? How sick do you have to be before you're committed? How sick, how religiously perverted you have to be before your life just shrivels up like a, I don't know, like a lima bean that's been left out in the sun for a couple of weeks and you just cease to exist. How sick do you have to be? The second part is the special rights smear. You've heard that. Opponents claim that recognizing and confronting the problem of anti-gay bullying amounts to granting special rights to gay kids. Now, these are Christians. I don't care what you say. I don't care. Don't send me your emails about, oh, Mike, you know, you're so intolerant of Christians. Yeah, okay. Third, playing the victim. The religious right has tried to turn the realities of school bullying upside down, claiming that anti-gay bullies are the real victims. Oh, there's a queer kid in my class. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown if I don't bully him. I'm a victim. And the gay rights groups are the real bullies. And fourth, blaming the victim. In the crudest part of the anti-bullying effort, religious right activists are trying to blame the gay rights movement and gay kids themselves for anti-gay bullying. Quote, the pro-bullying movement shows just how far the religious right is willing to go to stop the recognition and acceptance of gay people at every level of society and to paint themselves as the victims, the Christians, victims of the gay rights movement. The real bullies are the adults who are willing to hurt kids in order to push a political agenda of intolerance and exclusion. Well, it's not just political, it's religious and political. And did you know what? You know it's Passover. It's coming. Do you know what the Jews do on Passover? They capture Christian babies. They do! And they kill them and they mix their blood into matzah balls! You didn't know that? Oh, yeah, it's right in the Bible. To make thee realize you're every witch. Oh, yeah. Pray. Oh, to the dumb brethren. They eat the bread of sorrow. Oh, to the dumb brethren. Tomorrow, go to the down dresser.
Mr. Nice Guy. Here's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Scott is driving in Indiana. Scott, look, before you get all into what you wanted to say, why am I repulsed by Christianity? I've been talking about this for 20 years, and I just don't think that there's really any place we can go with the conversation.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay. Thanks a lot. No, I'll take his phone call, but, you know, somebody who maybe the first time he ever heard the program or wants to know why I'm repulsed by it. If I had to seriously answer that question, the only thing I would say, which, you know, I refuse to do, but the only thing I would say is, read the Bible. And if that isn't enough to turn anyone's stomach completely, I mean, all of it. I'm not just talking about the Old Testament with the violence and the genocide and ripping women's guts open and letting their fetuses fall on the ground and, you know, all this just virtual bloodbath, you know, wiping out entire nations of people because a sky creature is pissed off for some reason, you know. I'm pissed off! Kill them all! You know, is that God or is that Hitler? Same thing. It's madness. And as far as the New Testament, let's just start with Revelation. Let's start there and work backwards. Huh? You want madness? You want insanity? You want John of Patmos to give you a complete mental breakdown right in front of your eyes? Read the book. The book of Revelation. It is a vile religion that has slaughtered millions, countless millions of people over its bloody history. It has butchered, it has betrayed, it has lied, cheated, snuck, deceived, deserted, abandoned, filled people's heads with the most fantastic lies and distortions and insanities and murderous analogies and hope of, don't worry about your life now. No, you're going to be floating around in heaven up there. Yeah, God. No, I don't have time to answer a question like that. But you are right. My feelings about religion, especially one that is so steeped in guilt and violence and murder and death and mayhem and hate and, you know, all of these just horrific perversions of life. Ah! Eve ate of the tree of knowledge. I'll fix her ass and all her descendants. When they give birth, it's going to be horrible because she ate that damn apple or pomegranate. Hell, I hadn't even named it yet, and she's over there munching on a child. Stop it. Who believes in this? Oh, and then Jonah. Yeah, the whale. Swallowed him right up. Till he found God and then spit him out. And Noah? And Lot? And his old lady? And then Lot bangs his daughters? So that Jesus is a direct descendant of incest? Come on. How much more can you listen to before you switch your radio dial? So don't ask me questions like that, Scott. It just sets me off. I mean, it really does. It just makes me go a little bit berserk, you know, because whereas you wonder why I have such a contempt and disgust for Christianity, I wonder, you know, why you have such contempt and disgust for non-believers. And I'm making an assumption. You may have been somebody that wanted to say, I love atheists. I hate your sin, but I love you, you know, and I would just say to you, kiss my butt. You know, what do you mean you hate my sin? Oh, Lord. Lord have mercy. So listen, everybody out there traveling across the United States of America, listen to Sirius or XM. Let me give you a big old chunk of advice. Don't call me and ask me about my religious lack of belief, because I would just go nuclear on your ass, and then we'll both, you know, I'll feel bad for calling you a moron because you believe it, and you'll feel bad for opening up the gates of hell that is my mouth when I start talking about this stuff. Because every time I open my mouth about this stuff, demons fly out. Do you understand? Thank you very much. Demons! Little gargoyles and things. I don't know. Oh, God, here's Carmina Burana again. We have totally perverted this piece of classical music. We really have. Oh, well. Here we go. Hold on. Yeah, rock and roll.
More Flying Monkey Free Fun and Frivolity with Mike Malloy.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard. Cause hell's Georgia and the devil deals
the
cards.
Best Charlie Daniels song ever. I love that song. Woo! Lord have mercy. Bruce is in Santa Paula, California.
Hey, Mike. Good evening.
Hi.
Been a while since I've talked to you. I'm calling because I ran across something that just blows me away. Basically BP has created what they're calling the Gulf Resolution Research Institute, GRI.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of that?
I am not, no.
Okay, they put up $500 million to fund what they're calling an open research program studying the impact of the Deepwater Horizon incident. And it's a mega project now known as the Gulf of Mexico Research Institute, GRI.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently Greenpeace got a hold of some internal emails from them, and they were asking, how can we direct GRI funding to a specific study, as we now see the governor's office is trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's from a BP environmental officer, and he wants to know, what influence do we have over the vessels and equipment driving the studies? So they want to know how they can steer the research, how they met in Houma, Louisiana, to discuss how BP can influence the long-term research program to undertake the studies that we believe will be useful.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what they want to do is turn this into a $500 million PR propaganda program.
Oh, sure.
Okay, but now that's part of it. But nobody's really surprised that BP would use any resources at its disposal to pretend that this didn't happen, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But what really burns my butt is that I found this by accident, and it's a Yahoo News link, and Yahoo links are not permanent, so
mm-hmm.
I've always, what I do is I copy and paste the title into a search engine and then find another link to it, a permanent link like Washington Post, or,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right,
whatever.
Right.
Well, when I posted that in quotation marks, the only references I found were blog postings. And then I went to Yahoo's site where they have a search news site.
Right.
So I went through and I searched the Yahoo News and again put the same title in quotation marks, and the only reference, the only one, was this Yahoo News posting on a, it's a Yahoo News blog, actually.
So nobody's going to know about it.
Exactly. And I just, I cannot believe that, that this is not being covered by the news media. So it looks like they bought the media as well as the research.
Oh, I think so. I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, huge corporations like, for example, General Electric, that still retains almost a 50% interest in NBC, and is itself one of the biggest polluters in the history of the human race. They're not going to do exposés on a subject like this, BP, for example, and this phony institute, because then it will raise questions about General Electric. What has General Electric done to destroy, pollute, and end the environment? So, I think major, big, humongous corporations are constantly playing, you know, grab ass with each other. They don't.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
they're
not going to. Why should one? Why should a big banking ripoff organization like Bank of America? Why should they sponsor a program on television, say, that shows the horrific ripoff of Texaco in South America? You know, where you punch a stick into the ground now, and where is it? Peru, and oil comes up. You know, filthy, dirty, leftover.
Destroy the environment.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So big corporations are big corporations. They're going to take care of themselves and each other.
Of course
they
are. And but as I said, I guess it's just most disturbing to. I guess it's a perhaps a so such mm-hmm. a graphic demonstration of how controlled the media is, because why wouldn't that be told otherwise?
I hear you.
I would like to, if you wouldn't mind, just to mention to
sure.
your listeners that to put it in quotation marks, BP plotted to influence what scientists say. That should be enough. There's more to the title about oil spills impact internal emails reveal. That's the entire title. But if you put that in quotation marks into a search engine, BP plotted to influence what scientists say, mm-hmm. that should be enough to find you, and you'll find that the only references are blogs. I mean, unless something's come up today, but last night when I checked it, there was nothing.
BP plotted to influence
what scientists say.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you close it in quotation marks, then you'll, you know, it'll take you to only that wording, and that should take you to the references to it. But it's just astonishing that there's no news coverage of any kind.
Well, I'll see what I can come up with. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think you'll find the thing. It's at the Lookout. It's called a Yahoo News blog,
mm-hmm.
and it was dated Friday, April 15th. So.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much for your time, Mike.
Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate the heads up. Thanks a lot, pal. Take care. BP plan to influence what scientists say. That should be close enough. That may not be exactly what Bruce said, but that's close enough. Good Lord. There is just no... There's no morality or sense of ethics among the people who run these corporations. Nothing. You know, this is something that Chris Hedges keeps hammering and hammering and hammering on. It's just, you know, it used to be a heavy-duty condemnation was to refer to something or someone as amoral. But now, that's a given. That's a starting point. And I'm not talking about the corporation. The corporation is a filing in some attorney's office. I'm talking about the people who run the corporations. Amoral doesn't cut it anymore. It's immoral. There is a definite position that is against any concept of morality, and I realize that morality is a relative term over the course of human history. What's moral 200 years ago would be a joke today. How about ethics then? How about truth? Are there no absolutes? Where it concerns these predatory swine who will destroy anything and everything, primarily because they can. Oh, there's profit to be made, but there's profit to be made in a non-destructive way. Where it concerns anything. I don't care what the enterprise is. Think about it. There's a destructive way to do it and a constructive way, or at least non-destructive way, to do the same thing. It may take a little more effort, a little more research and development, a little more money, a little more dedication, a little less profit. And there's the rub. Less profit? You gotta be kidding. You communist, left-wing, socialist, rat bastard, you Mike Malloy's scum. Less profit? Jeremy is in Burlington, Vermont. Probably not very far from Vermont Yankee, right?
Ironically, that's what I'm calling about, too, Mike.
Oh, okay.
These guys have been lying for years on and off about where the source of tritium is. In fact, for, like, let's say the last 3 or 4 years, they couldn't find it.
The company Entergy couldn't find where it was coming from, huh?
But yeah, they couldn't find where the tritium leak was, and the... The regulators that came in to find it said, well, how about over here where these pipes are? And for about a year and a half, Entergy and Vermont Yankee said, there's no pipes over there. Mm-hmm. Well, lo and behold, after they did a search, the pipes are there, and that's where the leak was. Not to mention that leak was leaking into the river next to it.
Yeah.
Well, now these guys are... Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Mike.
No. I was just going to say, that was the part... I didn't know this until I came across it, I think, today or over the weekend, that... this was an absolute lie on the part of the owners and operators of Vermont Yankee. They knew exactly there were pipes underground. And you put pipes underground, eventually, guess what? They corrode.
And they keep, not just that, they said the tritium levels aren't dangerous to humans or wildlife or anything like that.
That's
we all know one neutron of radiation can kill you after 30 years.
Right. Well, you know, tritium is good for you. Make your teeth glow in the dark and keep your skin nice and pliable, you know, so it shucks right off your bones. Oh, my God. Well, what's the next move in Vermont? What's going to happen? What's your take, Jeremy, on this lawsuit that Entergy has filed against your state government?
My take is they're going to fight the governor because he's a new governor. Our last governor of the last 8 years was a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Our new one is, I'd like to say he's a Democrat, but I would like to say he will fight this tooth and nail. He said from the very beginning he was opposed to Vermont Yankee getting a relicensing.
I hope that happens. Jeremy, I got to leave it there, pal. There's the buzzer. Thanks. I hope I hear from you again. I hope you call it again. We'll be right back. Before the hour. Chris is in Evansville, Indiana. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how are you doing today?
All right, how are you?
Not too bad. Hey, since you brought up the subject of Christianity, like I told you, I really like you bring up transnational corporations, that other stuff. I think you do an excellent job of bringing all that forward. But then you go off on your Christian topics, And it's like just take a step forward and you took four steps backwards. And don't know why you've been eight.
All right, Chris, we're catching every other word of what you're saying. I don't know what's going on, but we're only getting every other word. I get the gist of what you're saying, though. Thanks, Chris. and all I can say is, you know, I would just have to sit here and repeat it. I consider Christianity to be a death cult. And I consider people who adhere to the teachings of Christianity, all of it. I'm talking about Old and New Testament. The Old Testament having been stolen from the Jews, from the Hebrews. All of it to be fantasy laced with murderous mayhem that has no parallel anywhere else in literature. Nowhere. Even other so-called religious texts are not as gory and bloody and condemnatory as Christianity. You know, the bottom line on Christianity is you believe what I tell you to believe. You believe this way. Or not only are you going to suffer during your lifetime, but your very soul, the very essence of your humanity, is condemned to everlasting torture. I mean, you know, anybody wants to take that kind of garbage seriously, go right ahead. Just stay away from me. Oh, my God, so to speak. Believe this or you are condemned for all eternity. I mean, it's hard enough, I guess, for people to try to contemplate their own demise, you know. And this is the escape valve for Christians. And I don't know enough about the other ones to determine whether or not, you know, I believe that the Hindus believe that escape valve is a further form of torture. You know, when you reach perfect balance, you get off the birth-death wheel and reconnect with the cosmic consciousness. And it's all over. You don't have to go through this crap anymore. But the Christians, you know, they have it just locked down. If you are not born again, now is that allegorically speaking or metaphorically speaking, or I mean metaphorically speaking, or do they mean it literally? Well, you know, you got to stop and think that the Catholics, at least the conservative Catholics, the ones that still believe in transubstantiation, actually believe they are committing a cannibalistic and vampiric act every time they do communion. I know. Take that filth and keep it away from me. Forever. World without end. Amen. No, you can have it. I don't want to get on this kick where I'm discussing this kind of insanity with listeners. I just, you know, nuh-uh, don't want to do it. But you want to do a vampire and a cannibal trip? Have at it, dude. I mean, dudette. I mean, if that's your ticket to Nirvana or heaven or paradise or Harpville or whatever the hell you want to call it, okay. Alrighty, you know, but just spare me and spare the audience and actually spare yourself, whoever you are. I'm not talking about the last caller. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. But, you know, this little 25-cent radio program is no place to have some debate on the theological correctness or incorrectness of a religion based on death. And it is based on death. I mean, it is. No, Mike, it's based on the conquering of death. Oh, I see. Okay. So if I want to conquer death by worshiping a chocolate ice cream cone, is that okay? No? Not? Huh? What happens if I do that? Oh, eternal damnation, eternal death. I rest my case. let's not talk about this. I mean, seriously, I may go off on it occasionally on this program, and at that point, if it's very offensive to you, I understand, and the advertisers understand, and the radio affiliates understand, and everybody understands if you want to flip the channel. That's cool. I mean, have at it. But there really is no need to call me about this, because it's the conversation's going to go absolutely nowhere. Just nowhere, okay? So I'll testify in my little world, you testify in yours. And that should be extremely rewarding to both of us, wouldn't you think? We're out of time. I can't take any more calls. I'm sorry. Strange night. Thanks for hanging out. Even though I know that a certain percentage of you are just furious now and are going to offer up what are those prayers? Imprecatory prayers that I develop cancer or something. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
To put